This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to another edition of M.I.P. Happy to have you with us. Just in terms of housekeeping, I am in Georgia. Came back, was here early last week. Came back Sunday yesterday. Will be here through the election season and pretty much embedded with Black Voters Matter and several other organizations that are doing this work to get out the vote for Tuesday. Primarily, these organizations work in a nonpartisan capacity, but we want people to get out the vote. So I'll be here and a part of that. And those of you who want to keep up with what's going on in Georgia, please, again, follow Make It Plain and myself on social media, either at Make It Plain or at Minister with two T's across your social media to keep up with everything that's going on down here in this historic election in Georgia. And if you have loved ones, ladies and gentlemen, who live in Georgia and are wondering about getting out to vote tomorrow, have them text the word Georgia to this number, 25225. That's 25225. And they'll be informed as to what polling places are open, where their closest polling place, how long it will be open. If you stay in line when past poll closing, they have to give you the opportunity to vote. Early voting ended early here in Georgia, Lord have mercy. But if you text Georgia to 25225, you'll be up on everything and your loved ones will be up on everything about voting and where to go and vote. And that is courtesy of a Black Voters Matter. They have set up that service so people can know where to vote. It is Monday immediately following the monthly jobs report, which came out Friday. And we always at this time, we've been doing this for years now, speak with our dear friend, the chief economist at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, Chad Stone. Chad, how are you and how was your weekend?
I'm very well, Mark, and I hope you are too. My weekend was good.
Wonderful, wonderful. And good to see you once again, as always. So not much change in the number, in the unemployment rate, but at the outset, and folks, let me just say this too. Chad talks to me, we do this every month, but if you really want to get ahead of the curve and find out about these monthly jobs reports in real time as they happen, follow him on Twitter at ChadCBPP. I think Chad probably has the most comprehensive reporting and analysis of the monthly jobs report above and beyond anybody else. And he gives it to us objectively. You pointed at the outset, and you've pointed this out in past reports, but in particular, November, there is a discrepancy between data from employers, the employment data we get from employers, and the employment data we get from households, correct?
That's correct. This is the second month in a row that this has happened to a significant degree, that the job data from employers asking how many people you have on your payrolls was up much more than expected. It was up 263,000. There was 23,000 downward revisions from the month before. But that's still very, very robust job growth. It's slower than it was earlier this year and slower than it was last year. But we were trying to make a big catch up in that period. And now we're largely caught up. We actually have a larger number of payroll jobs than we had at the beginning of the pandemic by a million jobs, which is pretty significant growth. Whereas on the household side, when you ask people who in the household is working, who's not working, who wants a job, who doesn't want a job, that household survey data for the second month in a row showed a decline, a non-trivial decline of a couple hundred thousand, almost a couple hundred thousand, 186,000, I think, is the labor force decline. And this can happen, but the difference is pretty significant and not fully understood by us economists. This is a very tricky economy, a tricky jobs market, I would have to say, to interpret.
Now, you say it's a little complicated to figure out why there's such a discrepancy, right?
Yes.
Let me ask a couple questions here. If the household survey is saying that there are fewer jobs, and you know, I want to try to get this right because you've talked to us about this before as well. There's a difference between what employers are saying. They're saying these are how many jobs have been created or how many jobs people have filled. But now the household perspective, wouldn't that tell us a little bit more about who's actually maybe made a decision to leave or to stop looking for a job? Might that be some of the source of the discrepancy? I don't know.
That could be some of the source, but probably not the most important. Now, to be clear, there's lots of features of the difference at that. For one thing, there are many people who say they have jobs in the household survey are in jobs that are not at the kinds of businesses that are sampled to get the payroll side. So the household includes people who are working in a family business and might not be paid, people who are self-employed. None of those are in the payroll survey. So that accounts for a certain amount of the difference. There's also the statistical problem. I mean, coming off an election where we're looking at the polls and there's a margin of error around the polls of a few percent either way, there's a relatively big margin of error in the sample size on both the payroll side and on the household side. And so some of it can just be statistical differences, but it's persistent for 2 months now, and nobody has clearly delineated what was going on. But you get one. This is not the source of the difference, but you could have the same person be on the payroll, be counted in the payroll survey three times because that person has three jobs, but on the household survey, that would only be one person. But that's not a large enough number of people. Multiple job holders are not enough, large enough number of people to explain the difference. The Bureau of Labor Statistics tries to compute a household measure an experimental household measure that looks more like, that leaves out the folks that aren't on the payroll side. But there's still a discrepancy there as well. So, running too fast on technical stuff, but it's statistics, it's sampling error, it's different concepts, it's a whole range of things, but it's a big difference and it's persistent.
And that's important. One thing I want to highlight, and Chad lifts this up in his thread, for the household survey, he alluded to this, but to even give a little bit more detail, unlike the employer survey, household survey includes agricultural workers, self-employed workers, unpaid family workers, private household workers. All those people are included. So that is going to make that number a bit higher. And as Chad said, it counts people once, whereas the other one can count folks more than once. So how does this affect the monetary policy that we've discussed with the Fed? There's some reports, Reuters, CNBC are suggesting that they have some evidence through minutes of recent meetings that the Fed, Chad, may move to smaller rate hikes. What do you think about that, and what would that do?
So before the jobs report, before this latest jobs report, it seemed pretty clear. The chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, Jerome Powell, gave a recent speech, and the indications were that they would indeed be moving to smaller rate increases. So the past few meetings, Fed meets, I think, 10 times a year, the Federal Open Market Committee that actually determines monetary policy. And at the last couple, they raised their target interest rate that they used to conduct monetary policy by 0.75 percentage point, which is a big, big increase. And the hinting is that it was going to be smaller, maybe a 0.5 percentage at the meeting this coming in a week or so, the December meeting. Now, so that indicates, and the inflation news, inflation is not going, the inflation rate is not getting higher and higher. It's high, it's too high, but it's not getting higher and higher as it was several months. So ahead of this jobs report, expectation that the Fed was likely to ease on rate hikes. The strength of the payroll employment, which most people think is a more reliable number than the household number on statistical grounds, that the margin, the confidence interval, while big, is not as big as the confidence interval around the household survey. So for what it's worth, experts sort of would look at the strong growth on the employer side and say, well, we're expecting 200,000 jobs and we got, or less or fewer, and we got 263,000. That suggests that the labor market is running hotter than we were expecting. And that might make the Fed less likely to scale back on rates. They still might do it. They still could do it. They well could do it. But that says, you know, labor market's hotter than we thought. It's not cooling off as fast as we thought. And the second thing is that, I mean, I think we'll probably talk about this a little bit more, but nominal wages, wages before inflation, jumped up recently, and the Fed has been hoping that they will be going down. And so that's another indication of a still hot labor market, that the wages employers had to pay to get the workers they wanted jumped up. So it's now uncertain again what the Fed is going to do. They're definitely going to keep raising rates, but how they take into account this most recent surprise in the jobs data remains to be seen. We'll know in a couple of weeks.
Do we know any more about the industries? We always talk about the different industries and what they did during the month of November to keep high.
Yeah. So we usually take labor and hospitality as an example because it was the industry hit hardest in the pandemic. And it's been having quite solid job gains every month. So every month, labor and hospitality jobs are an important contributor to the monthly job growth. On the other hand, because they were in such a deep hole in April of 2020, they are still 930,000 jobs below where they were before the pandemic. Now, the industry is restructuring in light of developments and the tight labor market. And so we don't know if restaurants are going to have as many employees, if there's going to be as many restaurants and as many employees when the dust settles on this kind of turbulent economy. But labor and hospitality, in line with the theme of the conflicting results in this jobs report, monthly job growth was really strong, but overall job growth, but the whole compared with where they were pre-recession is still very deep. It's larger than the overall.
There's a number that says retail trade fell by 30,000 jobs, with most of the losses in general merchandise stores. Business Standard reported that. But this is Christmas, so that's probably going to change when we get the December report.
Yep. I hesitate to mention seasonal adjustment. But,
yeah, right. Was there a lot of seasonal adjustment for this month, for November?
Well, the complication is that seasonal patterns with Christmas shopping seems to happen earlier than it used to, and the seasonal adjustment factors that take that into account haven't necessarily moved as quickly as the change. So it's complicated. It's difficult to be sure what's going on. I mean, supposedly, the seasonal adjustment takes out the seasonal effects so that we know what's happening to the non-seasonal stuff, which is the unusual part of the adjustment. The stuff that happens every month, is taken into account in reporting the jobs figures or the expectation of what would happen. So, but yeah, we'll the raw numbers, we're going to see Christmas shop improve things, but it may or may not show up in the data because of the way the seasonal adjustment is working and having difficulty recovering from the pandemic because patterns have changed.
Chad just said something, y'all, very obvious yet still profound. As he's an economist, not to knock the economy, but what did he say? He said Christmas shopping happens a lot earlier than you do. Yeah, we all know that because we go to the store before Thanksgiving now and the Christmas decorations, wait a minute, you know, and you get it, you know, so you there. I know all of us lament this. Wait a minute, it's here. And then you panic because we know it's upon us. So yeah, that is absolutely the case. One other area in your thread that you lift up, and you really always have, Chad has been, while he's an economist for the Nonpartisan Center, if Chad could be accused of being an activist in any area, it is for UI reform, unemployment insurance improvement. And he talks about that in his thread. And once again, you remind us that if things are not improved, if the economy were to falter, people would be in serious trouble, particularly those historically discriminated against, African American and Latino workers, right?
That's right. So, and if we don't know what the Fed is going to be doing over the next 6 months or so, but if they find it necessary to keep raising rates and that ends up weakening the economy, then we can be in a situation, as you say, and as I always have been mentioning in recent months, that where the most vulnerable workers, who tend to be African and Latino workers, are the last hired, first fired, and they're the ones most vulnerable. And the unemployment insurance system is broken. It's largely run by the states. And the states have very different states have very different unemployment insurance systems. And in many cases, the workers who lose their jobs through no fault of their own and should be getting unemployment insurance by how the program describes itself, people who lose their jobs through no fault of their own. You don't get unemployment insurance if you quit or if you get fired for cause. But if you lose your job through no fault of your own, you're supposed to get unemployment insurance. And yet, in many states, Black and Latino workers just fail to qualify for a variety of things, not all of them.
Right. And add that unemployment system to, folks, my list of issues as to why elections are important, not only on the national level, but at the state and local level. State legislatures decide unemployment insurance policies. They decide redistricting. They decide education funding policy. All those things, and many times accountability of law enforcement. So these state and local elections are as important. I haven't seen the numbers. I'll be curious soon. I'll probably take that up this week after this election tomorrow. You know how people did in terms of voting and turnout when it came to state elections. But this is what Chad is talking about, and I'm glad he talks about it. We don't talk about it enough. When we talk about the reasons to vote, voting even affects your unemployment insurance and how it's handled at the state level. So I'm gonna tell you who to vote for right now, but get involved, make that a priority, and vote. Of course, Chad's threads. And we do want to acknowledge once again, the good news about all of this is that total jobs are above February 2020 levels when the pandemic started. In fact, above by a number of over a million 44,000 jobs. I think I'm looking at your graphic right now. So that's still a good thing. So can we say we've recovered with a D, or the recovery is still going on?
Job market has largely recovered in the sense that we are well over on the payroll side. We are well over where we were at the start. And the unemployment rate is 3.7%, which is only 0.2 points higher than it was at the start of the recession. So unemployment is low. Job creation is ongoing at a good pace. And the jobs gap that we paid a lot of attention to back in the pandemic has been erased on the payroll side. So yeah, by and large. Now, that's not true for everybody, but there's probably still people that want a job. You know, may not even be back in the labor force yet, but it's a healthy labor market.
And we're thankful for that.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Chad CBPP, follow him on Twitter, and of course he joins us monthly. This will be the last time Chad and I will chat in 2022, for when the next job or so. We'll be looking forward to hearing him once again in the new year. Chad, happy holidays to you and your family, my friend, and thank you for all the great work you and the Center on Budget do all year round. It is so valuable, and we appreciate it. We always say we all feel like we're a little bit smarter after speaking with Chad, don't we, you all? Thank you, Chad.
Well, thanks for that. It's always good to be with you, Mark.
Indeed. Folks, don't forget, text Georgia to 25225. You don't do anything else today. Just let your loved ones know. Or you text it and then forward their reply, because it'll give them information on where to vote and how to vote tomorrow in Georgia. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.